to Mr. Biz Radio, Biz Talk for Biz Owners. If you're ready to stop faking the funk and take your business onward and upward, this show is for you. And now, here's Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Mr. Biz Radio with me, Mr. Biz Ken Wentworth. And we are going to talk about something we literally in almost 6.5 years we've been doing the show. We've never talked about this particular topic. I'm looking forward to it. I met this week's guest a handful of months ago at a summit, and just the vibe she puts off, the energy, and been following her on social media since we met. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl's going to be magnificent. I know it's going to be really good. We're talking this week with Nina Shevchuk. Make sure I get that right. I had to ask her beforehand. She is the Midlife Revolution Specialist. She's got experience, expertise, and professional education that combined for over 17 years of work and study in the realm of transformation and change leadership and management. Coaching, mentoring, she works in HR. She's also currently studying psychology and neuroscience of mental health. So we are going to have a really good show today. I'm looking forward to it. And we're going to talk about how to find your blueprint, and we're also going to find out how to mindscape. You may have heard of manscape. This is way different. We're talking about mindscaping. So Nina, welcome to Mr. Biz Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Ken.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, ever since we met several months ago, I've been looking forward to having you on. I know we're going to talk about some really cool stuff. But before we dive into all that, if you would, give us a little bit of your background, your entrepreneurial background and your journey.
Well, my journey has actually been a kind of on and on entrepreneurial, and majority of the time actually spent in the corporate world. So my journey had actually been predominantly with one company in the UK, because when I first came to the UK, I didn't speak a word of English. I didn't know anyone. It was a bit of a wild journey. And I managed to get a job as a Christmas temp in a cosmetics company. And since then, I just progressed very quickly to a manager, then senior manager, then a trainer, and all sorts of different roles. So I spent 17 years within that company and ended up working with the founders and directors on all things people and organizational development. And I had an incredible journey. But alongside that, I have always been doing some other stuff. So I was doing, I had a coaching business on the side, and I was volunteering for the Chartered Management Institute. And I've basically, and I've always studied. So I've never, I always laughed. I never really left school, because I finished one master's and I go for another. Hence, I'm now studying psychology and neuroscience of mental health. So my journey has always been very varied, with kind of exploring entrepreneurship as well as being within a business. But saying being within a business, I've never done any role for more than a couple of years. So I've always moved around and worked across different parts of the business and got exposed to different cultures and different dynamics. But there's always been something in me that wants to create and wants to explore and wants to do more, and is very passionate about contributing in a bigger way. So my journey within the business had stopped or ended last year, when I decided that it was time for another revolution in my life. So things have changed a lot, and I basically decided to change everything and start with a blank page. So I had packed all of my whole life into one suitcase, 18 years of life in the UK. I sold, gave away, donated everything that I had. I sold the house. I took a one-way ticket to Canada and my two Dalmatians on the same plane as me, and walked away from the job, walked away from everything else that I was involved in, and basically took some time to figure out what is it that I want to do next. And that's how the Midlife Revolution was born, because actually I was having my own midlife revolution. And then decided that that's what I want to do, because I had a lot of people coming and asking, you know, how do you do this and how do you overcome? It was a result of an adversity. How do you overcome adversity like this and so on? So, yeah, so it's a bit of a varied journey, to say the least.
Right. But, you know, what I hear, what you're saying, Nina, is that is all entrepreneur. I mean, like, entrepreneurs, at least how I think of an entrepreneur, is someone who's always, you know, they're chasing a shiny object, and, you know, and you're bouncing around because you're, you know, you do something for a while and you're like, hey, I'm kind of bored by this. I want to try something new. And especially with this particular move you did to Canada, I mean, geez Louise. And, you know, I've told the story on the show before, but, you know, I had a very similar situation when I left the corporate world. I was at JP Morgan, and I had always wanted to do my own thing. And finally, I just decided it was time. And, you know, I'd always been thinking about it. And I, you know, the funny part of the story is I was in, you know, New York City. I was traveling up there. and got done with meetings, and I was in the airport, and I called my wife, and I had found out that earlier that day I was going to get promoted into the top 1% of people in the company. And I said, I told my wife's like, oh my gosh, you know, you work so hard. This is great. And I said, and I'm going to leave. And she said, oh, you the plane's taken off. You got to go. And I said, no, I'm going to resign. And there's a long pause. And my wife said, have you been drinking? Did you get to the airport early? Have you been drinking? Because, you know, it sounds at least somewhat similar, maybe not quite the leap that you took and the massive change that you made, but I can relate to that a lot. And that's why I think, you know, when we talked months ago, that's one of the things that I thought, man, I kind of went through that same thing and really made a big change in my life as well.
Actually, the story that you just told, very similar to how my journey had finished with my company. So one of the co-founders had phoned and said, the other co-founder wants to work with Australia and Germany and a few other countries. Here's the role, like, have a think about it. And this was on a Saturday. And then on a Sunday, we met at cryotherapy, where you go into the chamber in minus 70 and freeze yourself. And she was like, what's the decision? I'm like, I'm going to leave. So, a very similar thing where people thought, are you crazy? And then because I've always been so busy, I had people call me and be like, you go into Canada with two dogs and you're just going to sit by a lake and read a book? I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. They're like, can you get yourself a return ticket? Because you'll be bored within 2 days. I'm like, well, maybe I will be, maybe I won't, but I won't know until I try. So let me go. So, very, very similar stories, actually.
Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah. I loved my time there, and it wasn't that I was dissatisfied with the company or you know, how they had treated me or anything like that. They're quite the opposite, actually. But I just always wanted to do something else and do more and contribute in a different way and in a bigger way. And I knew that wasn't going to happen in the corporate world. I'd come to that, you know, sort of revelation, but I couldn't do what I do now if I didn't have that experience. So it was, you know, the training ground for me to be able to do, you know, what I do now. And my gosh, I'm so blessed. I love what I do. It's not work for me. And I'm hesitant to tell a lot of people that. I feel like I can tell you, because I feel like, you know, we're kind of on that same vibe, because a lot of people, when you tell, I don't know if you had the same experience, when I tell people that, I think a lot of times people are like kind of haters, right? They're like, well, my job sucks. So, you know, good for you, buddy. You know what I mean?
I think we're like, basically, it's like the same story in two different versions. That's like me and you. But I agree. But I also think everything in life is a choice, right? And especially now we live, you know, at times where we have got more opportunities and freedoms and privileges. And we live in a world that literally, you know, everything is ready at our fingertips. So if people are miserable in their jobs, that is a choice in a lot of cases. Like, everything is a choice. So you choosing to stay in a job that doesn't satisfy, you know, is your choice and a decision, just like it was your decision to say no to an opportunity that for a lot of people be like, wow, I'm staying here, because sometimes people think that staying in the corporate world is, you know, it's the safety and security. It's not. Anything can happen anytime.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's to each his own, right? Some people like that and great for them, but I'd always wanted to do it, and it was just time. And so, for a lot of people, it was very abrupt, probably, like, you know, you said your friends were also telling you like, oh, you'll be bored in 2 days. So interesting stuff. So again, we're talking this week with Nina Shevchuk. You can find out more at her website, themidliferevolution.com. We'll put it in the show notes. Follow her on LinkedIn, Instagram, and on Facebook. We're going to come back after the break. We'll get the Mr. Biz tip of the week, and we'll continue talking with Nina, the midlife revolution specialist.
If you would like to reach hundreds of thousands of business owners every week, Mr. Biz Radio can help. Our show airs globally 7 days a week for more than 25 hours across several internet radio stations, plus 20 plus podcast platforms. Also, video exposure on the new exclusive Mr. Biz Network streaming channel, which gets blasted to 100 plus streaming platforms, and the Mr. Biz YouTube channel, and our 350,000 social media followers multiple times every week. Join Mr. Biz Nation as an advertiser by emailing us at info@mrbizsolutions.com.
Are you ready to automate your business? Automation is the key to scaling a business and building wealth. It's also one of the most difficult things for a small business owner to do on their own. If you're looking for help with automation, Pulse Technology CRM can help. We have an exclusive offer for Mr. Biz Nation. We will build everything for free, even if it's a sophisticated funnel. Visit thepulsespot.com/MrBiz for this exclusive offer.
Got a question for Mr. Biz you want answered on air? Email it to info@MrBizSolutions.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show. It is time for the Mr. Biz Tip of the Week. And this week's tip, this is a little bit more on the business side of things, but this is pricing psychology 101. This is something that probably a lot of you intuitively would think. Maybe not, though. I found this very interesting. So they did a study, and I can't remember the name of the group that did it, but they did a study and they with consumers and how they purchase things based on pricing. And when consumers are given in this particular study, and I think they had like 2,000 people, all different ages, all different, obviously male, female, like all kind of different up and down the economic scale, given two choices, 80% of the time people will choose the higher priced item. And one of the reasons they gave for that is that a lot of times the lower priced item, people think it's cheap. It's not worth it. Maybe it's junk. However, given three choices, and this might be intuitively what you would think, given three choices, 85% chose the middle priced item. And I call it, for lack of a better term, the Goldilocks theory, right? This porridge is too hot. This porridge is too cold. This one's just right. The higher priced item, oh my gosh, that's the Bentley. I can't afford a Bentley, but I also don't want, a Ford Fusion or, you know, whatever it might be. Let me get something in the middle. Let me get the Honda Accord or, you know, whatever it might be in automobile speak. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Keep that in mind. Typically, when you have different items, you want to be able to offer consumers three different options. And even if the top one is a kind of a throwaway and not many people buy it, that's fine. You're going to kind of funnel people into that middle ground and product or service that you offer. So that is a Mr. Biz tip of the week this week. So Nina, when someone works with you now as the midlife revolution specialist, how do you work with them to help them find their blueprint? I know that's some of your terminology, helping people find their blueprint. What's that look like? How do you kind of go about that process?
Well, a lot of the process is actually, I believe that people have, I don't believe, I know people have their own blueprint within themselves. And very often people will come to me and say, well, I don't know what to do. I have this option or that option, a little bit like, I can stay with a company or actually here's another option. I don't know what to do. So I'll ask them one question and within 30 seconds, they know the answer. Most of the time, people don't want to admit the answer sometimes to themselves because that would mean that they have to change something, which is scary, especially if you have been in an organization for a long time. Sometimes they know what they want to do, but they are afraid to admit it because they're worried about the fear of judgment. So often they may be under pressure to be in certain position or have certain title and, you know, do certain things because of family expectations or sometimes societal expectations. And sometimes they just haven't got much clarity because they feel like they need to be someone or something that, you know, over the years they felt that they basically created an identity that now they're scared of letting go. So they always really know. But for us to work together, it is a lot of coaching and mentoring. And it is like giving them the space to actually dig what's within and what is it that you really want. Because we always know what we want. Over the years, we lose the clarity sometimes because of societal expectations, because of, you know, we think 60 to 70,000 thoughts every single day as humans, yet 90% of them are the same thoughts today as they were yesterday and the day before yesterday. So most of our lives, they become autopilot and routine-driven lives. So obviously when you do that over the years, it is sometimes you forget the dreams, you forget the ambitions, and you forget what you really wanted. And then it becomes more like, well, I better stick with it because, you know, sometimes people come to me and they say, well, I'm 60 now. Should I really be doing something else? Like, I don't know. Is there still time? And I'm like, oh, my God. Yes, of course. So our work is very much exploration, but it's me being the guide. It's not me giving the answers because I think, you know, we have got unique DNA for a reason. Every single one of us, everyone is a special one of limited edition. And for me to give answers, like, it wouldn't work, right? This is exactly what we have done with society, where we're trying to tell people what success should look like or who they should be and what they should be doing. And I've actually banned the word should from my dictionary because it's so judgy. So to me, like working together, it's about allowing people to actually go back to the core and go back to who they really wanted to become, And what life do they want to create? And it's not about the title, it's not about the money, but it's actually, you know, what do you want? Do you want more joy, more happiness, you know, more time, more financial freedom? Like, everyone has got something else that they want. But the key in here is to define, what does that mean to you? What does success mean to you? What's the definition of success? What's the definition of happiness? And so on. Because only by creating your own definitions and by actually living by them, you're going to achieve what you want to achieve. Otherwise, you're always chasing something that you think is the thing, but it's not. If it's not your definition, you're actually fulfilling somebody else's definition, which never leads to fulfillment.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious, Nina, based on your work and your coaching folks, what percentage of people would you estimate that are, you know, sort of whatever, 40s, 50-ish, whatever, somewhere that 35 to say 50 range of people are going through life just settling, just checking the box, just settled into the routine that's unfulfilling, but they're just like, this is my life.
Yeah, well, based on my experience, obviously this isn't backed by any studies right now, because I deal with the people who come to me, which, you know, if they're happy, then hopefully they're cracking on and they don't have to see me. But yeah. I would say around 80% of people in general, like from conversations and, you know, being across different countries and working with different organizations, people go, it is what it is. This is just life. I should settle. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, to me, like, life is a miracle. It is a miracle. Like, the chances of you or me being born were less than 1 in 400 trillion. So don't tell me that you're not here for a reason. And then our time on this planet is really a brief sparkle, right? So If someone told you, Ken, I'm going to give you a ticket to this incredible planet, you're going to have a little bit of time there. You can be who you want to be. You can do what you want to do. You can have whatever you want to have. You would go wild, right?
Sure.
And this is life. Yet we don't go wild, because when we're young, we have got these dreams and ambitions, we're creative, we're excited, then we can't wait to be independent, to go to work, have our own money, and, you know, not be under the control of our parents or teachers and so on. And then we get to work and it's exciting at the start, but then we set into the routine and the autopilot life. And then before you know it, people wake up and they're like, is this it? Like, is there any more? Is this work, eat, sleep, repeat? That's it. And then when you settle for that, then it's very hard to get out, right? Because it's scary, because then people feel like, oh, actually, better the devil you know. So it's better to settle than go for what I want to do, because maybe there will be a risk.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, but I've talked to, you know, even some family members that are just, you know, living the autopilot life, like you mentioned. And then I will be talking about something that's maybe a hobby of theirs, and you just see how they light up. And I'm like, why don't you do that? And, you know, change your life, you know, get some education to be able to shift and be able to focus on the things that really light you up. And I literally had a family member of mine that said, well, it's easy for you. And I said, how's it easy for me? And how's it any more difficult for you? Like, you know, I made a huge change. I left a great job, high compensation, all that kind of stuff, fulfilling career, or something even better that I do now that I absolutely love. And it's like, no, it's that's a lie you're telling yourself, that, oh, well, it's easy for you. It's too difficult for me. That's a bunch of crap. You know, either. And I love to, one of the things I hear people say, I know some people say it tongue in cheek, but when you talk to someone, you're like, hey, how's it going? They go, living the dream. You know, like, they're just being sarcastic, like, oh, my life sucks, but, you know, I'm living the dream. I hate when people say that. Sometimes, you know, when they say it's funny, that's fine. But a lot of times it's those autopilot people that are like, oh, I'm living the dream. If you're not living the dream truly, then change that. Do something about it. Don't just sit back and allow life to happen. You know, like you said, our time is so short here. It's not worth it. You got to be able to do things. So Nina Shevchuk, you can find out more at themidliferevolution.com. We're going to hit a break and we'll continue talking with her about mindscaping.
How would you like to have direct access to Mr. Biz to help you run your business more profitably and more efficiently? At MrBizSolutions.com, you get live access to not only Mr. Biz, but also several of his hand-picked and trusted business experts, each with 20-plus years of experience to help you optimally manage and grow your business. That's just the start of where Mr. Biz Solutions begins. Learn more at MrBizSolutions.com. That's MrBizSolutions.com.
Business owners have a continually growing to-do list with little time for revenue-producing activities. With Check Off Your List and their experienced team of virtual assistants, you can focus on growing your business. Visit checkoffyourlist.com to learn how Check Off Your List skilled team can handle your day-to-day tasks like social media, bookkeeping, calendar maintenance, and much more. Contact Check Off Your List at checkoffyourlist.com or call 888-262-1249 to see how their virtual assistants can help you live to work rather than work to live.
Check out all three of Mr. Biz's best-selling books at MrBizBooks.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're talking again this week with Nina Shevchuk. And I want to talk a little bit about one of these, one of your, I'll call it a proprietary term, because I hadn't heard it anywhere else until interacting with some of your material, Nina, and that is around mindscaping. So first of all, what is mindscaping?
Mindscaping is basically checking out the landscape of your mind, right? So we take care of our gardens, but we don't actually check out the garden of our mind. And the brain actually works in a similar way to a garden, right? Where you have got some weeds that get in there over the years, but you also need to make space for new seeds. So when I say weeds, I mean thoughts that are unhelpful. And whatever you think, if you think something over and over and over again, it becomes a belief. So your thoughts and beliefs are unhelpful and basically are stopping you from achieving what you want to achieve in life. And then we don't create enough space for new thoughts, for new seeds, basically thoughts and beliefs that will enable the success that you want to create. So mindscaping is just assessing the landscape of the mind and figuring out, like identifying what are the thoughts that need to go that are not, you know, not useful, and what do you want to plant? So for example, often people say, you know, I'm inconsistent. If you say that enough times, your mind will believe that you're inconsistent. And because the mind, the human mind has a natural tendency for confirmation bias, which means that the mind will seek out and show you evidence of the things that you believe in. If you believe that you're inconsistent, the mind will find examples of your inconsistency and show them to you. So if you have got a lot of thoughts like this, and the mind has to filter a lot of things because we get bombarded with billions of pieces of information every day. Of course, the brain has to filter, otherwise it wouldn't be able to cope. So what it does, it filters out anything you don't focus on or you don't believe in. It just filters things out. So if your thoughts had been predominantly, you know, I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not good at this, or I'm inconsistent, or this is okay for Ken, but it would never be okay for me. Well, that's what the brain is going to show you. So, and very often, which I find quite surprising, people don't realize that the brain is just part of your body. It's the most intelligent and sophisticated piece of kit on the planet, but you need to be in charge, because if you're not, it will run you on an autopilot. And, you know, you wouldn't allow your leg to take you out of the room and go for a walk because it decided so. Yet you allow your brain to do that to you every single day, right? So mindscaping is assessing the landscape of your mind and then deciding what thoughts do you actually want to have that will support the life that you want to create, and what thoughts need to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, one of the illustration of that, you know, just what you're talking about, Nina, is, and I just had this kind of, not really an epiphany, is too strong of a word, but it's your mind, as you said, seeks things. So even something as simple as we were playing a game with our youngest daughter. We were on a drive and we're driving and we were looking for, I forget, white Jeeps or something like that. And all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, there's so many white Jeeps. Yeah, because you're looking for them. They've always been there. You've just never noticed them, right? You noticed the black Mustang, but you didn't pay attention to the white Jeep, right? And I think your mind works in a very similar way, just like you're talking about, is, you know, whatever you're looking for, you know, I've got, actually one of my daughters who says, oh my gosh, I'm always late. And I'm like, well, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Stop saying that. And if you catch yourself saying, I'm always late, follow it up with, but I'm working on it. I'm getting better. I just had a family member that had a piece of jewelry of theirs that they wear every day. It got damaged and they haven't worn it. And she said, I've had bad luck since that jewelry, and I have to get fixed. I'm going to pick it up so my bad luck will go away. And I thought, well, it's very superstitious, first of all. Second of all, what are you talking about, bad luck? Look at all these great things that have happened in your life in the last 2 months, you know, this and that. And then, and she literally sat back and she said, well, I guess it just seemed like I had a lot of bad luck. But it's like what you're talking about. So when you're working with folks, Nina, I'm curious, you really probably have to get very psychological, because I would assume a lot of people, those weeds and that mindscaping that needs to be done, maybe it's something that's so normal that how do you pull that out of them? You know what I mean? Like to really make them think about what those things are, because as you said before, they become so part of your natural, you know, day-to-day.
Yeah, it is. And actually, the car example that you gave, this is exactly the example that I often give, where I'm like, if you want to buy a red car, suddenly you start seeing red cars everywhere. Are there more red cars? No, but you just pay attention to them now. So the way to work on it is, first of all, it's really helpful to have someone. So if people talk to me, A, I can identify their thoughts just by listening to them. Because when you're in your head, very often it's just so normal and it's subconscious, you don't realize. Therefore, having someone like a mirror, if you talk to them, I'm able to spot them very quickly. But the other thing I ask people to do is you really have to do the work in a subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is responsible for 95% of your mental activity. So even if you consciously think something, that's never going to win. The 5% is never going to win with the 95%. So in order to identify your subconscious thoughts and beliefs, it's very important when you do tasks like go for a walk or do your washing up or reading a book, and you focus on something and suddenly these thoughts, random thoughts start to come, or you get a sensation, something makes you feel anxious or worried or uncomfortable. This is the moment where you have to pay attention to, like, what is this thought that's in my head? Because these are the subconscious thoughts that are actually running your life on the autopilot. So it's important to write them down, start observing them, because when you start identifying them, then you start identifying patterns of thoughts. And then when you've got that, obviously awareness gives you power. It gives you power to decide whether that's useful and you want to keep it in your mind or whether you want to change it. Like you said to your doctor, you know, I'm always late or whatever, but I'm working on it. I'm getting better. That's how you need to train your mind. So very important when working with people is A, for me to be able to spend some time with them and for me to help them to identify things, but also for them to go away and do the self-reflection and become self-aware. So very often self-awareness is seen in the context of I'm aware of myself in context of others and the external environment. So how I come across, how I behave, how I present myself, you know, could I have come across better in a meeting or in this interview? But we miss completely the point of self-awareness in terms of the awareness of the self on the self. So our thoughts drive our emotions. So you think happy thoughts, you feel happy. If you think sad thoughts, you feel sad. Our emotions then drive our behaviors, and our behaviors drive our actions, and our actions create the experiences that we have in life. And obviously the experiences adapt to the overall experience that we have life. So we call life. So everything starts with a thought, and we're completely unaware a lot of the times of what's going on in the mind. So a lot of the work is through me being able to observe them and also getting them to observe themselves so that self-awareness can increase massively and we can see what the mindscape actually is in order to be able then to decide and design the mindscape that people want to create the experiences that they want.
Love it. Love it. So as we're going through the mindscaping exercise and we're getting rid of these weeds, now we want to plant new seeds. What is something that someone, because especially as you're talking with people that are, you know, sort of midlife, I find a lot of people, again, that are on the autopilot, planting new seeds is difficult for those people a lot of times, I think. What's one of those things that you see that sort of can create a breakthrough for someone to be able to get out of that mindset, to be able to start planting new seeds that maybe they haven't done for, you know, decades?
Yeah. Well, you know, the brain is the record of the past. So the brain predicts your future based on what it experienced in the past, like forecasting in a business most of the time, right? So in order for the mind to be able, you know, to create something new, you need to show a new horizons. And in order to show a new horizons, you need to pay attention to new things, like pay attention to the white cars, right? So for people to have a breakthrough and get rid of some of the weeds, and then create space is actually then create a vision for what do you want? Who do you want to become in order to achieve this, right? Because you need to become a different person in order to create a different life. If you already it, you would have already created it. So once you create that vision, then it's then going out and seeking examples of people who have done what you wanted to do or who inspire you and so on, you know, reading books and exploring, really getting the mind to see new horizons that it hasn't seen because it was too busy on an autopilot. It was asleep most of the time. So it is that part where then you suddenly start seeing those things and it is like the white car. Suddenly it's like, wow, oh my God, there is, you know, once you start noticing, you're like, I've never noticed so many things. I never knew it was possible. I never knew it was easy. And it is, but you have to pay attention to it first.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, Nina. Well, we're out of time here, but thank you so much, Nina, for coming on. Fantastic information.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. TheMidlifeRevolution.com. Follow her on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. Guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a fantastic week. And don't forget, as always, cash flow is king.
To become part of Mr. Biz Nation, follow him on all social media platforms, or never miss a show by going to MrBizRadio.com. If you prefer free video content, visit the Mr. Biz YouTube channel or check out his streaming channel, which is available on 100-plus streaming platforms at MrBizNetwork.com.